Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast.
We're still calling it that, huh?
Not for long, buddy. We're in dangerous territory. Now, to be fair, when we... You know, lasted 6 years with that name. I guess times have been worse. Times have been worse.
Which has been worse? All right. 6 years or six games? Because I tell you what, not the hottest start. All right. Not the hottest start.
Yeah. The opposite. The coldest start, my friend.
No, it's just like, why? Right? Like yeah, why? I have no other like real statistical analysis pretty much at the moment. Other than like, why did you have to do this? Like, they're supposed to be coming home at like, you know, back to the bank, and they're supposed to be like
a sea of red.
Yeah. They're supposed to walk down like the, you know, from center field onto the field. Dan Baker is supposed to announce Trey Turner, and we all lose our collective minds.
I mean, they're raising a pennant flag.
A pennant flag. And it was supposed to be the culmination where we get to say how much we love you,
yep,
right? Like,
this
is supposed to be, okay, thank you so much for what you did last year and reinvigorating us with baseball in Philadelphia. Thank you so much. And all they have done is just slammed it down. Just slam, slam, slam. That's all they've done. They've just slammed it right. Like, don't. It's like, oh my God. Like, I wouldn't boo them, but like, there'll probably be booze.
There will be booze. There probably will be booze. And I wouldn't boo them either. But man, what a frustrating way to start the season. Who would have thought, you know, with the High Hopes thing, in the week where Jim Nantz actually resigns?
Wow.
This happened.
Yeah. Well, did he? So I guess he just like
resigned from college basketball.
Yeah.
You know, close enough. That's it.
Is it more of a resigning or a retiring?
You know, it's a good point. You know.
But also, how can you retire when you're
closest we've gotten to you not being an idiot? All right, I'm trying to help you out here. Come on.
Well, I'm always an idiot. Especially in my you know lack of sleep at the current moment.
How you feeling?
I'm good. No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Do you feel dumber still?
No, I think my brain is adjusted.
Okay, good.
I feel pretty good about it.
Grizzly, you were dumb that one.
No, I was dumb. I was like, I couldn't string together two sentences.
No, it wasn't your best.
Dude, I was like, I felt stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Well, I often feel stupid, but like, I can usually string sentences together. But then the Phillies are 1-5, and you know, I was able
and
to.
And an ugly 1-5.
Yeah.
That. And here's the frustrating thing, because I want to. You know, we do the marathon thing and all the cliches and all that because they're true. It's a crazy long season. We're six games into 162. Like, I don't want to, I'm not panicking, but I don't want to be as concerned as I am, Jack. But like, I look at this lineup, I look at the injuries. Derek Hall, you know, they brought Cody Clemens up. He's going to be out for at least a little bit of time. He's going on the IL. Like, I'm concerned now. Like, I'm not panicking, but like, we're going to have like Jake Cave batting fifth. Like, Josh Harrison is going to be a massive part of this lineup. Like, Cody Clemens could be playing first base, Jack. Cody Clemens.
It's all, like, it legitimately is the most my Philly sports fandom has felt like the Dumb and Dumber, like, our Pets has are falling. You know what I mean? Like, it's the closest we've come where it's like, everyone's injured. Yep. They're not playing well. They look tired. They look hungover. Reese is hurt. But Harper's coming back. Our Pets' heads are falling off. Like, it is.
It's really a good.
It's
good
the count. Most. It has really felt like this. And it's like, I just hate that it's April. Like, it's April.
And it's April 6th, Jack.
And we feel this way.
It's not just April. It's April 6th. We're not even at the end of April feeling this way.
And I am not in the mindset of season's over. I am not in any of that. And I don't think anyone should be. Because, like, I still think the message is still a message. But it's like, at this point, do we have to change our expectations? I mean, and it's not like I think they've played a frustrating brand of baseball. We understand that. But at the same time, it's not all of their fault. I mean, there has been a ton of injuries.
Oh, absolutely. Like the injuries are my biggest concern.
Marsh being out now, like hopefully Marsh is fine. Like hopefully Marsh is fine. But that's our, like the fact that that's what we're clinging to, and he's our nine hitter.
Yeah.
It's like, and he's been good. And I think he's had a good step forward. But like now Hall's out for a little bit. I think Cody Clemens can't play. So like, awesome. Great. I'm glad they called up Cody Clemens. Whatever. You know, and then it comes down to everything else we've already had. Like, Ranger seems like he's on his way back, but he still has to throw, he has to go in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Like, he has to come up through the minors again. Painter, we'll see. Like, Harper, it seems like he's on a
Harper
path
out.
Here.
Harper's his own thing.
Yeah.
He's all by himself as the one shining light of healing. And of
I mean, if he comes back, if he comes back and saves the season, like, just make it, build a statue.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just, it just has that early feel of a lot of stuff is piling up on them, and it's not all their fault. Like they're, we talked about last podcast, but you're putting what was once billed as great depth into big roles. Like I love Edmundo Sosa. We all love Edmundo Sosa. Edmundo Sosa's starting every day now.
Yeah, no doubt.
And like, would you have wanted Eric Bruntlett starting every day on the 08 Phillies?
Absolutely not.
So like, you know, and hopefully he can show some of the power that we saw in spring training and be like, okay, this is stabilizing. Now it's like Alec Bohm has to be actually an all-star. You know what
he
I mean?
He has to be like your three hitter or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And you look at everyone that has to step up, and then you've seen what Nick Castellanos has done so far this year. And it's like, well, I don't think I obviously can't count on that. Like, I can't count
you
on him bouncing back.
You would be crazy. Look, we were all bullish, and we said all the things we said after, whatever, six games. Like, you would be an idiot to say you still believe in Cassie. He might bounce back. Like, it's possible. But to watch what we've watched, and obviously after the first two games, for him to look exactly the same as he
did
last
year. Well, he doesn't chase as much.
Dude.
Doesn't like, chase as much.
Man. And also, you're seeing the frustration already. Like, he's getting annoyed, and he's getting frustrated
he's
with the strike zone calls.
Yelling at the umpire.
Right? And like, look, I like fire. I like feistiness and stuff. But with that dude, like, we know how he can kind of get in his head and kind of, you know, start to spiral. And it feels like he's spiraling already. Like, I am... Again, you said this on the last pod, and it hit me hard because this was after the first three, and we weren't, you know, really tumbling down. You were like, I'm more concerned about the lineup than the pitching. And everyone else was like, pitching, 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 Wheeler, Nola, whatever. You were dead right. And now the injury's piling up. Like, man, I'm concerned about scoring runs with this team. Like, outside of obviously Schwarber and Turner at the top, JT, and then Bohm and Stott. And again, like, you know, Stott's been great to start the year. But that's, like, that's it. Like, that's literally it.
Well, they've lost the guys that you can just trust. Like, how many guys in the lineup do you 100% trust when they're up right now? It's pretty much...
I just named them.
Yeah, that's pretty much...
That's it.
It's four?
It's four and Stott.
And hopefully Marsh continues to develop. But
I'm learning to trust him more, but it's not like I'm like, oh, Marsh is definitely coming through for me.
But again, we headed into the year with the whole...
With the whole lineup. We're like, where's the hole?
Where's
find the hole in the lineup. Like, find the easy out.
Bring back Franco. Bring back Franco. He could be the eight-hole hitter, the best eight-hole hitter in the history of baseball.
My God.
So the offense, my one... Obviously, this is contingent on Hall being mostly fine and Brandon Marsh not missing time. The one thing I'll say about the lineup that is giving me a little bit of hope is that through the first five games, they went 12, 9, 9, 11, 10 in amount of hits.
Yep.
So, like, I believe that, you know, water finds this level when it comes to that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That the more runners you get on base, they have the second highest average in baseball, I think, behind the Cardinals.
When you go through the line and they show everyone's average, it's like, oh, it looks pretty good.
Yeah,
like, look at that.
But the problem is that I believe they'd only scored 13 runs in the first five games. So, you know, you hope that they continue.
Christian Pasci seems to come up with runs.
Dude, it's every freaking time. He's a magnet. He's a magnet for, like, it's a big spot, key spot. And then yesterday they had a pinch hit Josh Harris for him, and Josh Harrison on a bum ankle swinging at the first pitch.
I know.
By the way, like.
How sad is that, by the way? You have to pinch hit Josh Harrison for your center fielder.
And then have to
spot.
Put Edmundo Sosa in center field.
Right. I mean, that's, like, that's where we're at. That's
we
point.
Are.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, Rob Thompson. I think he's Rob Thompson right now. Like, I'm not calling him Topper.
Dude, I was going to get there. Go ahead. I was going to get there.
But, like, you know, I mean, Stubbsy Stubbsy roped the ball off Loaiza again in the World Baseball Classic. You know, I mean, I think he gives you a better chance there than Josh Harrison.
Of course he does. I don't think there's any question about it.
So, dude, it's like for every and like I swear I'm not a blame the manager guy. Like people will do like they're lackadaisical. That's on the manager. I don't think it is. Like,
I don't either. I think that's more on the players.
That's more on the players for me. I judge a manager by the decisions they've made.
And yeah, of course. And the culture they create and all that stuff.
And the culture, I think, is still
good. Yeah.
It's just like every decision he's made has felt like it's backfired.
Every single one.
Like it's an unprecedented run. It's the exact
opposite of last year.
Yeah.
It was like where he felt like he had a Midas touch last year. It seems like it's the polar opposite this year.
Yeah. And some of the processes that how they get to the determinations, I don't totally agree with. You know, it feels very like how the swing path lines up with the pitcher's stuff. And it's like, why in the world was Alec Bohm back in the seven hole yesterday?
It made no sense. And can we be honest, like, way overboard with the righty-lefty thing. Like, what are we... It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to go righty-lefty every batter. Like, put the best hitters in the best spots. Get Alec Bohm more at-bats. Get him in spots where he's going to have runner on base instead of being the seventh hitter, because you have to do this nonsense. Oh, it's got to be righty-lefty. No, it doesn't. It's so weird.
Well, so I agree with you, and if it was back-to-back lefties at the top of the lineup...
That's a different thing, because then you worry about a lefty coming in late in games.
Right.
Of course.
But, like, you know, I watched all week of LeMahieu Judge 1-2.
Yes,
last year,
no problem.
Last year it went Mookie Turner, right? Out in.
Many teams
like
do
it's,
this.
It's fine.
It's with the righties. Like righties know how to hit righties. They hit them all the time.
How about this for a crazy concept? How about your first five hitters are your best hitters?
Right. Thank you.
You're throwing your water bottle.
Because
our pets' heads are falling
so
off. Pets' heads are
that
falling off.
That is definitely the title of the episode.
Yeah.
Well, people are going to be like, what?
And Schwarber's getting hot, right? Which is good to see. It's not even June.
Yes.
But like...
It's pre-June.
But he could bat four. Like if you want to...
Sure.
If Bohm was showing good bat control and you want to have... Like I just think Turner, Bohm, from the standpoint of like... And you don't have to do this yet. Whatever. I understand that.
And look, he's missing guys, so the lineup's going to be, he's got to just adjust, period.
Push him up.
Push him up.
Push him up.
And by the way, like, I know we've talked about a respect thing and Casties, you know, all that, but like, can't be in the middle of
it. Nick Castellanos gets one more week.
Yeah,
with
this
whole
fine.
Batting five thing. But, I mean, so I agree with Rob Thompson. You know, I would have put Castellanos
you
there.
You said that before the season.
Because I just... You got to give him the chance to do it. You paid him the money to do it. And if he proves to you he can't do it, then you bump him down. He's got a week. He's got a week to figure it out. And then hopefully, and I'm not saying this is that this is likely, this is more hopeful, that he goes down to eight, gets mad, and turns back into Nick Castellanos.
Sure.
But I don't envision that
happening.
I think
he goes down to eight and swings at more balls outside because he's pressing.
I mean, I have never... The bat is through the zone so quick. Like, it's just, it's not there. There were so many times the last three games where it was like a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle low that he just can't get the bat to because the swing is through the zone so fast to where it's just like, I can't believe, I mean, he is on the path. He's on the path of going down as the worst free agent signing in the history of the franchise.
Also the most shocking. Like again, we keep saying it, but for a guy to hit 309 with 34 homers 2 years ago, coming off at like, throw 2020 out the window. I think you could do it for everybody outside of 2020. Coming off like a run of like 5 years or 6 years or whatever, or being a really good offensive player, a aggressive hitter who goes up and gets doubles and hits the ball hard and all that. Like, I don't remember, not just the fall off to like the numbers wise, but to watching him hit, he doesn't look anything like that guy.
No.
Like, how does that happen? How does it go so far from such a confident, great hitter to this?
Well, and what I can't put my finger on is like, first off, he's healthy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you can excuse
him. Last year we had the whole like, oh, maybe he's hurt and we don't know it thing. Like, he's not now. We know that.
And I can't remember at 31 being cooked.
That's my point.
Like 31,
at that age to drop
it's
off.
Not,
like
it's not. That's not how it works. Like 34, I get it. 35, I get it. 31.
Yep.
And it's this kind of...
Well, 30 and 31.
Yeah.
Because you got to conclude last year, if he falls off, he fell off at 30. That never happened.
Well, and what annoys me is you'll hear, well, he's playing in Detroit and Cincinnati, like where the fan bases don't care or whatever. Dude...
There was no one there last year. What are we talking about?
But at the same time, I watched him put the Cubs on his back in 2019 and carry that team to the playoffs when Schwarber wasn't good, when Rizzo was pretty much cooked. Like when these guys were not the same Cubs that we saw in 2016 that won the World Series. Like Nick Castellanos was unfreaking believable in Chicago,
and
that is a high pressure market. Yeah. That is a market that cares a lot. Yeah. And he was, dude, I think he batted like over 300 with like a million doubles, and he was just like that guy. Like it kills me. He's not good. Like
it breaks my soul, dude. It breaks my soul.
And this is not like James. Like James and I are not. We don't hate Nick Castellanos. Like I would love to love Nick Castellanos.
Yeah,
he was so good for so long. I can't believe he's this
guy. I would tell people to go back and listen to the pods about before they signed him and when they signed him and my excitement, except I'm embarrassed about it because it's been so bad.
Yeah.
You know, but we were ecstatic when they signed him.
I can't believe it. I cannot.
No, I can't. It's the most shocking thing with this team. Of all the stuff, the Nick Castellanos thing is, it's one of the most shocking things I remember as a Phillies fan. Like, that's how dramatic it is.
Well, what's shocking to me is that, you know, I think Kevin Long's great. And
yes.
By all accounts, he's great.
Yes.
Like, why, what is it with Nick Castellanos that we can't figure this out? Is it Castellanos not, you know, buying in? Is it he just kind of goes and does his own thing and we're not going to, you know, don't mess with him. He'll figure it out. Because it feels like he has a pretty good answer for everyone else. I mean, it feels like everyone else. I mean, Brandon Marsh, I think, has taken massive.
Yes.
Hey, dude, Brandon Marsh should have bought 430 some feet the other day.
Marsh has been great. Like, offensively, he's been really good.
Yeah, he's got a little Victorino in him where it's like he makes a dumb play.
Yes.
And it's only because he's over-aggressive,
mm-hmm.
Which Victorino sure. was a lot. But, you know, talk about a positive. I need him to not be hurt because I really enjoy watching Brandon Marsh.
Oh, he's so much fun. Like, so much fun.
It's so fun having a center fielder thing to go catch a ball.
Yeah.
But now you're starting to see him develop at the plate.
Yeah.
And when you're looking for positive signs, like the fact that Baumstadt and Marsh look like all three are taking a nice solid step forward, I think is like for everything that's been so downtrodden so far at 1-5, those three are giving me a little bit of
okay.
A
look at this,
grace.
The positives. So,
well, this is how this podcast usually works.
I was
works.
Just about to say this is like a classic high hope spot. I'm like 17 minutes in, turn the page. Everything's fine.
No, I just
we
like
we got the Reds and the Marlins coming up. Let's go.
Yeah, but dude, we got.
I know we got Jesus and Sandy and
no,
all those
no.
guys coming
well,
through.
We not only do we have that, we got Hunter Green, Lodolo, and
yeah,
Graham Ashcraft.
Dude,
you want to talk about three Fritz guys?
I know. Trust me, I own Graham Ashcraft in a league because of you.
What do you have, 10 Ks in his first
yeah,
game?
Yeah, it was sick. I don't think it was 10. It was like 8. Was it was
it?
Really good.
Yeah.
It was like 6 one run innings with like 8 Ks. Yeah.
His stuff is stupid.
Yeah. Throws hard.
Yeah, it's stupid. for as much as...
Hunter Green throws hard.
Dude, Hunter Green, I think, is what Mark Pryor would have been if he would have stayed healthy.
Whoa. His mechanics are that great?
His mechanics are remind me a ton of Mark Pryor.
That's a bold statement right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we don't live not in the bold.
That's true.
No, so
you did just say Nick Castellanos could be the worst free agent in the history of the Phillies. That's pretty bold.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, well,
bold.
For the amount of money he's making and the lack of production,
about. Yeah, yeah, of course.
I mean,
that's how you judge it.
Well, trending on that, like Adam Eaton, obviously, but he's
no, that doesn't count. No, we're talking him. Yeah, the money matters.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole discussion.
Papelbon's the all-time leader in saves.
Yeah, I know. I know. Trust me. I know.
Papelbon.
Yeah.
Hold on. Now, obviously, this is you're asking the wrong person. But which frustrates Phillies fans more? Papelbon being the all-time leader in saves or Bell having the last cycle?
Well, you know it's Papelbon. I mean, I appreciate your hate for David Bell. And I do think Phillies fans don't like David Bell. Like, I think it's pretty agreed upon. You hate him to a level that most people don't.
Correct.
So I think it's clearly Papelbon.
But, you know, you talk about the upcoming schedule and you talk about, like, these next 5 series should be get-rightable. You know, like, you know.
Got the Rockies coming up. They got some games.
And they go to the White Sox and unfortunately, like, Eloy's hurt again. And like hopefully they don't face Cease.
He's so good.
I know. Lance,
like, he's nasty. Lance didn't look great.
Yeah.
His first start. He's hit or miss guy.
Giolito, they should be able to hit around pretty well.
Yeah,
but either
Kopech
way, like,
got crushed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Kopech guy.
You never were.
Yeah.
Credit on that. That was one you nailed because he was a top 10 prospect in the sport at one point.
Yeah. Not a big Kopech guy. But you know, they're get rightable, but at the same time, like the Reds, they're throwing their three like actually good starters. You know, and then the Marlins like are still the Marlins. I'm just telling you now. Like Luis Arraez is going to crush him.
Dude,
like he is.
He's fun knowing in fantasy too. He just gets hits.
He's insane.
He just gets hits. Like the dude hits the ball.
Yeah, he is going to be a pain. That Marlins team is back to being like the worst.
Yeah. Well, Jesus Luzardo, as we've talked about, like I mean that dude is unbelievable. And Alcantara is nasty. And Eric Rivera is good. Like they got That's the thing about the Reds and the Marlins coming to town. Oh, get right. It's like yeah, but like you could also score no runs against
these teams. Yes, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I'll believe in Trevor Rogers till he's bad, but whatever.
what we could say though, at least for the Phillies, the Phillies have always handled him for some reason. Like they can get to Trevor.
And Jesus Luzardo down to plus 3,500 on Cy Young odds.
Plus from 10,000.
Yeah,
let's not forget.
Love to see that. Anyway, but you talk about like
I'd love to see the $750 I win if he wins Cy Young.
Yeah, we'll see.
Five to win 750.
We can always cash out. Like we always said.
Yeah, you know that I don't cash out. Well, I never think to cash out or any of that stuff.
So. Staring you right in the face where you could cash out. but yeah, it's just like there's good starting pitching coming up. We'll see what happens with the White Sox. You know, I don't know who's going to be starting that series yet. Whatever. Reds, same thing. It's a 4-game set out in Cincinnati. They do pretty well out there. It's a good hitter's park. Whatever. They should be okay. Rockies is one of those series like just, you know.
Rockies are horrible, but it's the Phillies Rockies, so we know anything can happen.
But I will say maybe before the series starts, like CJ Cron has to stay.
Dude,
like has to
bring him here now.
I know.
Today.
So I had this written down and it's really interesting because now that Hall's hurt and we'll see how banged up he is, but it does put the onus on like maybe just go get a guy now if you can.
I think you kind of have to. Or I think you at least have to consider it. And we talk about this all the time. You know, it's always like wait till the deadline. It's like, that's fine, but then you've only got a third of the season left. Like, you get a guy now, he helps you all year long.
And it depends, obviously, if the team thinks they're competitive or not. Right. They traded for Jay Bruce pretty early a couple years ago.
And look, I think for the first time in a long time, it seems like the Rockies organizationally have said, you know what, we're probably not going to win. We're not. Like, they always go in, they sign Chris Bryant, they do all these things, and they always try and, like, make a big move. It feels like the Rockies are not as into it as they've been in years past. So I do think there's more potential there.
Yeah, so they traded for Jay Bruce on June 2nd.
That's early.
So that's early in baseball terms. I don't think they can wait. Like, depending on Hall's health, that is a long time to wait. And like Jesus Aguilar, there's no way the A's wouldn't trade him to you right now.
Trade you anyone at any time for anything. Like, dude, just give him cash and you're set, dude. Like, I mean, they are an atrocity of an organization.
Yes. So
Jesus Cesardo, a perfect example. Like, why would you trade that guy? Like, why would you give that guy up?
You know, it might have been a red flag about Christian Pache that even they were like, you know, we don't
really
have time.
Good point.
We don't have time for this kid to develop. You know what I mean?
And it is pretty astounding to be as bad as he is. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Like, he's pretty amazing out there in the field. Like, he really is. Like, he is legitimately great as a fielder.
Hold on.
Yes.
Throw the ball home.
Yeah.
Throw
that's a fair point. Yeah.
The freaking ball home.
Okay, good point.
So he is great at going and getting it.
He is.
Throw the freaking ball.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Regardless.
Yeah.
The A's were like, yeah, we don't have time for this. So that might be a problem.
I like watching him, like, I don't think he's ever going to hit. I mean, I just think he's never going to hit.
Well, Kevin Long's in the lab with him.
Okay, good. Yeah. Will it be like Nick Cassianos?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Real quick. The in the lab thing.
You're out on in the lab.
It's just everyone uses it for everything. Oh, going in the lab, going to cook up a song, going in the lab, work on our hitting. It's like, it's not all freaking labs, all right? Like, enough. We're going in the lab to get, like a...
Well, we're in the lab right now.
No, we're not. We're in a studio recording a podcast. Like, enough with the lab. Is that fair?
I'm in the lab when I'm on my drive-in.
You don't think it's over? You don't think it's overused? I know you just used it, but you don't think it's overused? A little bit?
Well...
Low overuse.
Probably, but I'm also very pro. I'm very pro in the lab. Like when I'm cooking up some gambling lines.
Yeah, you're in the
lab.
I'm
in the lab.
Yeah. See, again, everyone's always in the lab. Can't we come up with a new thing?
Well, what else would you use?
I don't know. I haven't really given it much thought. I just want to get rid of lab.
Maybe before you hate, you could think of something else.
Well, as a better
alternative.
You could just say where the actual thing is, like in the studio. I'm in the studio.
Well, what about?
Because that works too. You know, studios are made for that, believe it or not.
Yeah.
We're literally in one.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I just don't know what I'm supposed to use in terms of, like, you know, cooking up gambling lines.
How about I'm in the kitchen cooking up gambling lines?
All
right. Yeah, right?
But it doesn't flow
as... literal.
It doesn't flow as well as in the lab.
I know. That's the problem. It just sounds...
Do you think Dave Dombrowski's in the lab trying to find a first baseman?
I think he should be in his office making phone calls.
All that? Right. In the boardroom? He's in the boardroom?
I like the boardroom. Dave's in the boardroom cooking something up. I like it.
What about which do you not like more? The lab or when they call it the war room for drafts?
I'm okay with that.
You're pro war room?
I'm pro war room.
All right. It seems a little heavy.
You're
just making draft picks.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's maybe a little over the top. You know, no one's dying here.
Just making draft picks.
Well, it's like when you talk about we're going into battle. We're talking about playing football, which it is a combat sport. But I mean, like, you know. It's not battle. Hopefully no one's dying out there.
Well, yes. Hopefully not.
Yes.
So things are fine.
Things are good.
Things are going well.
We're going to go in the lab. We'll cook up a pod.
Yeah.
Everything will be great.
Yeah.
Everything will be great.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Jesus, I don't know where we were. I'm pinning my hopes on Jesus Aguilar.
They're going to say on Jesus Lizardo winning the Cy Youngs. That's what we have right now.
Yeah, that's my number one priority at the current moment. And Garrett Mitchell. But besides that, everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
So where do we go from here, Jack? where do we go from here?
Well, we go from here is that they return home on Friday.
They do.
And you have to hope that Citizens Bank Park gets behind them and they go out there and they perform. And they take a deep breath. My fear is that the beginning of this season has dampened the spirits of Phillies fans in that it won't have the same jubilation that I believe it should.
It definitely won't.
And it won't. I'm just telling you, it won't.
It'll be fun there tomorrow. It's a Friday. People be in good mood. Like, especially if they get up early, people get behind them
and all that. Yeah.
But like, it should have been a party, man. It should have been a party. And I said this to you on the pod multiple times heading into the season before the season, and that's part of why this is so disappointing, is that in my time in this business, for sure, and one of the most times in my life, like, there had never been a season that was more important for them to start hot for the fan base. Like, I don't ever remember one where it was like, all right, you have a chance to take what just happened in October and November and that fire and that excitement and that city behind you and to your point that people loving the Phillies again, like, it's right there to grab. And like, this start, like, it sucks because it hurts that. It takes away from that. It makes it that much more less likely that, you know, the place is going to be full all year.
Well, that's why, you know, this weekend comes down to, obviously, two of three is imperative, but
I think it's the most important series in the history of the Phillies.
There it is.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. But if they go out and they win the first two, I think Sunday gets back to being like, okay, we're fine.
I agree with you.
You know, and Sunday's the ring ceremony. You know, it's where Scott Kingery gets his ring and Will Toffey and all these guys that contributed for the 2022 Phillies. They finally get their rings. So I think that Sunday is back if these first two games go right. Like, and they kind of ease everyone's fear right now in the city, because like that's what it is. Like, right now I think the best way to describe Phillies fans and us is that, like, we know it's early, but like, figure it out. Like, we know it's early, we get it, there's 156 games left, but like, you're not calming everyone down. Like, you're not giving people stuff to like latch onto and say it'll be okay. And some of that's the injuries, some of it's the way they played. I mean, what was that? Four base running mistakes already.
Oh my God, dude. It's unbelievable. I mean, Trey Turner getting picked off, the Marsh day. I mean,
Hall throwing out second base. JT on Saturday.
And then the field, we had the Marsh, you know, misplaying that ball that led to the triple to start the game, the ball that dropped between Turner and was it Harrison and left, whoever it was in left. Like,
and when you're down the players that they are, Like, this little stuff can't, it can't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the time when everyone's got to take their game up to another level.
Well, especially with injuries. We saw it last year with Harper, right? Harper goes down, they play their best baseball of the season. Like, that should be the feel right now. Like, you don't have Bryce Harper. Guys are going down. Like, you're there. You're back in June last year where you have to step the bleep up and really bring it, and they have to.
32-20 without Bryce last year. Everyone kind of stepped up and said, you know, we're not going to let this season fall apart right in front of our eyes. You know, the Eagles are a famous example of this. I mean, when Wentz went down, everyone went up and stepped up their game to pick up the slack of losing the MVP of the league. Like this is what teams have to overcome. And I know it's early to say we can't let the season slip away, but you know, when you look at the National League, and we know it's a talented league, and we know that it's going to take a lot of wins for them to get there. Like, one in five is just you're already behind the eight ball. Like, the Mets have gotten off to a disaster start. They have a lot of old players. We'll see if they can we'll see.
They've had some tough losses too. Like, at least
they're getting smoked in some of these.
Yeah.
Games.
Well, first they lost 1-10-0. They've lost on a walk off. Like, they've had some bad loss. Like, we had one bad loss, but otherwise it's been just losing baseball. Like, they've had some gut punch losses already.
Right, and Verlander's hurt and what? I'm always. I'm surprised their payroll's that high. I keep looking at it.
I'm so with you. I look at it, I'm like, how are you spending this much money? Who's it spending? Like, I know Scherzer and Verlander cost a lot, but
And Lindor.
And Lindor. But
they haven't paid Pete Alonso yet.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's a great point.
They haven't paid.
That's common.
That's probably going to come. I mean, they gave what? They gave Nemo 80 some?
No, they over 100. Nemo got 108 million or something like that. It's a wild contract.
Who do you think's freaking out more, Mets fans or Phillies fans?
Phillies fans.
Really?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Don't you?
I would be worried if I was a Mets fan. I would be more worried than
I love this. This is the best thing you said yet.
I think the Phillies have a better chance of bouncing back than the Mets.
Wow.
The Mets are old.
I do too. Look, I like the Phillies more than the Mets coming into the season, but I mean the Mets are 3-4. It just doesn't feel like as panicky as 1-5. I think you asked not what I think and who's better or whatever. You know, they're only two games behind. I think they'll make that up. But in terms of which fan base is more concerned right now, I think it's the 1-5 fan.
All right, we'll see.
No, I'm not saying they're better.
No, it seems like you love the Mets. I got you.
Yes, that's it. Good take. All right, I want to get to take back in a sec. Shout out to Miller Lite.
Yes.
You know,
might have to change it though. Miller Lite's for Phil's loss.
Oh no, that's too much tweeting for me, buddy. I don't know if I can keep up with that.
Yeah, my big thing with Miller Lite now is I got to do final out. So do I have a beer before final out?
A beer as you're doing final out. Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Everyone's fine with that.
Yeah, everyone's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Plus, how many Miller Lights can you down before, you know, you have an issue?
Well, I'll just have
quite a few.
Yeah, I'll just have one. I would
have one Miller Light. Nice little take the edge off.
Listen,
if
Joe Buck can have a big 24-ounce beer before he calls games.
Does he do that? Did he say that?
Yeah.
That's great stuff, Joe.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And then tell him to calm down.
Hey.
Well, I don't know if it was 24
hey,
ounces.
Hey, a little inside baseball here. You've definitely heard some pods where Jack and I have had some beers before.
Oh, I think that's evident.
Honestly, you know, when we do pods at home, generally we have a beer when we do it.
Well, and definitely for most of the run last year when the podcast had turned into this is so fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of our analysis after, big wins in the playoffs was this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
This is
awesome.
I can't believe we get to do this. Yeah. Wow, can you believe it? Those are such good times, buddy. Yeah. If I could go back and live in a month, it would be that month.
Listen, we'll be watching a lot. No, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. I haven't even started looking at the draft yet.
You go. See?
Well, no, I have, but not from the standpoint of are we gonna get one of the top guys?
That was really funny.
Yeah,
that was good. Well, obviously, go on. I mean,
Kevin McGonigal at Bonner, that might need to be a
Bonner. Really, got
Dude,
a kid at
nasty.
Bonner?
He's nasty.
Yeah,
he should be a top 15 pick. But
wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Local kid.
Well, listen, he said in an interview he resembles his game after Chase Utley. So that pretty much. And he's a second baseman. Yeah, sold. That's the guy. Don't worry.
And my favorite player of all time.
Don't worry. I will be on a hardcore, a big old campaign to make sure he's a fit in a couple months.
And your campaigns are effective.
Sometimes.
All right. It feels definitively like take back time.
All right. All right, couple things here. Time on Walker, I thought looked pretty good. I think,
if Marsh doesn't misplay that ball, who knows how that start goes? Like he had a triple off the bat that shouldn't have been a triple. Like,
right. But you know, I like this fastballs back up to 96. You know, I saw some up, an up and velo. I thought the slider had more, like, in by the numbers, the slider had more bite, which is good.
It looked like it had some bite.
So. I didn't remember it looking that good with the Mets, and I love that splitter. I the splitter is my favorite pitch in baseball. I hate that.
Just period.
Yeah, I hate that it's gone away. It feels like it's kind of.
I'm surprised we've never talked about that before. So the splitter's your favorite.
Oh, I
pitch.
Love the splitter.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I can't believe it's never come up.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. And it's my favorite because I could never throw it. Like I
so
knew
it was more of like a I'm impressed.
How the like, I couldn't believe the people that could go like mm-hmm. like Clemens at his peak. You know, like with the Astros or whatever. When I started watching Clemens, it was like
about to say his peak.
I know it wasn't
his multiple peak.
My
peaks, I guess.
My Roger Clemens.
That's tough that you're Roger Clemens Astros. That's like the
no.
Worst
I would say I remember 03 Clemens with the Yankees. I don't remember him throwing
the
bat
Blue
at the
Jays and
yeah, no.
You don't remember any of that.
No. I definitely don't remember the 20 some strikeout games. But like 03 Clemens with the Yankees, and then the Astros Clemens where he's winning Cy Youngs and coming in halfway through the year.
Oh yeah, buddy.
But like how he made his splitter just like fall off the table like that, mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, so I thought Taiwan Walker looked pretty good.
Real quick before you move on,
okay?
Because I do have a pitch question now that I meant to ask you, and I'm happy you brought up the splitter being your favorite pitch. Thoughts on the sweeper? I mean, it's basically a slider, right? Like it's like
it's like a
horizontal slider.
So I guess someone asked me like, "What's
so?" What are your thoughts? Because there's a new pitch and they talk about it all the time now. And I'm like, wait, what? Hold on, is it a slider? Is it kind of a slider? What's the deal with the sweeper?
I guess my question is like, what's the difference between that and a slurve? But because the slurve has been around for years.
Yeah.
And I guess the difference is that it's thrown harder. But I mean, I'm very pro sweeper. It's like so the curveball, I guess, is like becoming more hittable. The slider was all the craze 3 years ago where mm-hmm. it came like it's unhittable. And then like the sweeper is like the perfect in between.
So it's like a slider curve mix, like the slurve, yeah. Essentially.
It's essentially a slurve. I guess it's just thrown harder. I don't have a great definition for it. But
you're in on the sweeper.
Of course. The smart teams have it. So every smart team is like where you're learning the sweeper. And I think the Phillies might be a little ahead of the curve with the cutter.
Ooh.
I think the cutter is going to start.
Okay, then an important question is a follow-up here. What's a better name? Slurve or sweeper?
Sweeper.
Yeah, it's better.
I'm anti-slurve.
Yeah, so it's a shame because slurve is a more appropriate name. Yeah. Like if it's a mix between, it's basically in between a curve and a slider, like what a perfect name for it. It just sounds gross, a slurve. Like there's something kind of gross sounding about
slurvy.
It.
Slurvy? It doesn't.
It just does it like sweeper. It's
sweeper
like, oh,
makes
yeah.
Sense.
I get it.
Yeah.
Swept him.
Yeah. I'm in on sweeper. So okay. I think it's a good pitch, and hopefully Wheeler continues to figure out how to throw
okay.
it. Okay. I
had to ask.
One. Thank you.
All right, what's next?
Oh, right. official.
Jack just totally looked away from his notes, was ready to just like keep.
I have to make an official statement on Junior Marte.
Oh, yes. I mean, we talked about it last time. By the way, that was something I was going to mention in Topper, too, though. I didn't, like just left
the
him
wrong
out.
Spot.
A, the wrong spot, and then B, both times, particularly the second one, particularly against the Yankees, like, let that game get further away than it needed to. You know, like, that game didn't have to turn into, like, 8-1 or whatever it was. It could have been 4-1 or 5-1 or whatever and still be in the game. And he just, like, was like, all right, we're lost. Let's just let Junior die out there.
Well, and I guess he's thinking, I have a bullpen game the next day.
I know. I know what he's thinking. But, like, dude, you know, you were 0-3 at that point.
Yeah. So, obviously, the first thing to say is not great. But I do think, like, he should have been a guy. Listen, this is he's pitched in the big leagues before. But, like, this is a guy that you should be using in mop-up.
That's what I expected. Like, I expected him to pitch it like when it's 8-1, you bring Junior Marte.
I mean, this is what they did with Rosso too. Like,
yeah, I remember.
Like they used him as a closer in like the first game of the year. It's like, hold on, relax. Like they actually really value spring training results. Like Jake Cave is, and I think Cave started to put together good at bats, but like they definitely like are like Jake Cave's arrived. So you know, I still believe in the stuff. I just think that. Needs to go to AAA. I was perfectly fine with it, and then hopefully they work the Alvarado magic, and he can come back and help out. But like trying to put him into a tight game in Texas-ish, and the game on Monday, it's like I think they were just setting him up for failure. And hopefully that he can go down to AAA.
I agree with you. Again, I hated the way he was used.
Well, speaking of another guy that I was terrified of, I was like, what are you doing, Rob? But McKinley Moore was warming up in the eighth in his first ever game in the big leagues. And it was like, Rob,
what are you doing?
Calm down, please. Because I think McKinley Moore, for as much as I was in on Yadier Marte, also in McKinley Moore, so hopefully this doesn't backfire. But he's.
Are you scared to say you're in, guys?
I am scared. I'm terrified. Because I know. It's like, oh. So.
You hearing it?
So, I'm trying to tread lightly on sure. Being all in on McKinley Moore. But just know that I'm all in.
Okay, good. I don't think anyone on this podcast wants you to tread lightly.
Yeah,
so.
Well, whatever. He has some stuff. So I can't wait. I'm excited for McKinley Moore. He's disgusting in the spring. Noah had a good bounce back yesterday. It was a little frustrating. They said that in between starts he worked for the stop.
I know. It's like, what do you mean?
Did you think they were going to change the rules?
Like, what? You didn't do this before? Like, this was not something you did in spring training? It was crazy that he said that. I almost said bat bleep. It was bat bleep that they did not, do this all spring. And it goes back to the Harper comments. We didn't talk about it last pod, but the Harper comments during the ESPN game where he's like, oh, no, a lot of players want to get our game back or whatever. It's like, bro, this is not going anywhere. You guys are crazy. This is here to stay. The pitch clock. And I do think, and Joe brought this up on the show, and he might be over the On the Morning Show. He might be overthinking or whatever, but he's like, is that the message that's throughout the locker room? Is it Bryce Harper being like, yeah, this sucks. Hopefully we won't have to do it long. Is this Nola being like, oh, I don't want to do this. I wish we had. Is that because you got to embrace it. I know you guys hate it, but guess what? It's here and it's here to stay. The pitch clock is not going anywhere. Get used to it. Figure it out.
Yeah. So it's just Did you think that when the season started they were not going to do the pitch clock?
Crazy. This is crazy. It's crazy.
That was frustrating, but it was. I thought he was really good yesterday.
I did too.
There was a couple things he had Gleyber Torres 1-2, and he had him set up for a curveball, and they threw a fastball, and he dumped it into center field. Whatever. He did get screwed in the first inning yesterday. It was a strike, and JT threw down a second, and the umpire didn't see it, and should have been strike three. Runner in scoring position, whatever he allows it to run. So, good bounce back stuff from Knowles. Hopefully that he can, continue to trend in the right direction. And then how about Matt Strom?
Love him. He was awesome.
Yeah.
And not just, he looked great. Obviously, he really did pitch well. And you read the articles heading into it about him kind of taking a different approach as a starter, a relief pitcher approach, and being more aggressive and all that, not worrying about setting up pitches or worrying about getting deep into games. And I think that really helped him. You could see it when he pitched. But, man, is he fun?
Yeah.
They're talking to himself. They're freaking out the bullpen or the dugout, all that.
I want that.
Super fun guy. And yeah, we need that. We need a little fire, man.
Are you in or out on the nickname Pastrami?
So I did not know about it. So give me a sec to internalize this.
Marsh calls him Pastrami.
Pastrami. Okay, so I'm torn on this because let me tell you, Pastrami's amazing. I'm Jewish.
We know.
Pastrami, a good pastrami sandwich from a Jewish deli with some mustard. I mean, it's among my favorite things on the planet.
Right.
It's not a great.
It's not a good.
No, it's just not. I mean, it sounds ridiculous to be honest. Pastrami, that's not intimidating. That's not cool. pastrami. Hey, look, it's pastrami. Yeah, it's a joke. It's oh, look at this pastrami's over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, good try. Good effort.
I appreciate the effort. The thought. You know.
I get it.
Hate it.
And I guess my final thing here is that there's a lot of riding on the Nick Sirianni first pitch tomorrow.
Oh, buddy.
I mean, this is a guy who preaches competitiveness.
Yep, it's a great point.
And he is a guy that will shoot hoops with draft prospects, and he competes at everything. Compete. If he doesn't throw a strike, I think it's an issue.
So, okay. I generally agree. I'm okay. It doesn't necessarily have to be a strike. I need him to bring it. I need him to go to the mound, get on the rubber. Don't do any of this BS, stand in front of the mound and soft toss it in there. He has to take this seriously. I couldn't agree with you more. And I said this to you on the radio last night, but he's also got the whole Doug thing. Doug could not have done better. Doug walked out cool as a cucumber and rifles a strike. That was a pitch. It was 80 miles an hour or whatever. He's got a lot to live up to. You know, because the last time the Super Bowl, you know, coach of the Eagles went back and threw a first pitch, like, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, I need at least 70 miles an hour.
I agree with you. Yeah, I need 70. And again, it doesn't have to be a strike, but he has to throw it from the mound. It has to reach the catcher.
There has to be conviction.
Yeah. Again, if it's like a high and outside, fine.
Listen, if you dot the outside corner, I'll take it.
Exactly. I'll give you the call. Yeah, well, off CB Buckner it.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Exactly. So there's pressure on. This is not a walk in the park first pitch tomorrow.
Dude, I agree with you.
This is not like, oh, congratulations, Nick. We get it. You guys lost in the Super Bowl. Like, we get it. You know, like, this is a go out there and deliver a strike, Mr. Competitive.
I agree with you. Now, let's say Nick goes out and nails it. Like, goes out, you know, from the mound, throws a strike. It's awesome. Is the cheer for him bigger than any other cheer the Phillies get?
Better not be.
Is the cheer for him bigger than the pennant flag?
Believe me, as someone that had to internalize the Eagles' chance in the fourth game of the season, I don't need that.
It was tough. That was a tough look. And, you know, deserved.
me and Fransky had the same reaction. Eagles' chance, huh?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
None of that this weekend.
I mean, you're down 8-1.
I know.
And 0-3.
Well aware. Watched it. Yeah. Lived it.
There's no one who hates Eagle chance at Phillies games more than you.
You
are like top of the list.
Yep. Yeah. I did a whole rant on it.
I know. It's very, and I generally, I'm against Eagles chance at Phillies games unless the Phillies force you to do an Eagles chance at Phillies game. Like, that's the way I look at it. You know,
And
I think that's a fair way to do it.
It's fine.
And it's almost a, hey, it's like booing. It's like a version of booing.
It's worse for me.
You think it's worse?
It's worse.
I love that.
It's
I
worse.
I love that about you. I don't think it is, but I love
if I was a player.
I love that you think it's worse.
If I was a player, I would be more
like
offended at an Eagles chant than I would being booed.
I get that. It's a strong take.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
215.
You know it's a good bot when you're doing the 215 multiple times throughout the bot. All right. So
enjoy Vermont, buddy.
Everything's fine. Oh, yeah. So I will not, sadly. The one real shame of the Phillies moving the home opener, because for everyone else, it's great. It's Friday instead of Thursday. You get to go down, have a great time, relax. Jack's got the day off the next day. You don't have to worry about work and all that. I can't go.
Yep.
Shout out to my buddy
Chad.
Maybe
that's a good thing, though.
That's true. Shout out to my buddy Chad. Getting married on Saturday. I'm in the wedding. We're finishing my show at 10 tomorrow. I'm driving straight up to Vermont, which Jack is very jealous of.
Love Vermont.
Yeah. And you saw the place we're going.
Yeah,
it's really beautiful. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to have a great weekend.
Good. I'm happy for you.
I'm going to miss the Phillies, which will be a bummer. But Jack will be there. If you're at the game, say hi to Jack. Tell him you love him.
Now, do I stand in the same place that we watched, you know, Bedlam at the Bank and all those moments?
Yeah. I mean, I think
was that outside 424?
It's outside no, it was 120. It was like,
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it was like 126, well, 128,
you're
right.
It's 126.
Somewhere around there. It's somewhere around there.
Yeah. So I'll probably be standing there with Elliot.
Can't let Elliot give you some baseball takes.
Dude, no.
Like, our text thread has gotten a little angry lately.
Dude, I had
because,
to.
Because, like, we're actually getting annoyed with him.
I literally gave him
a please stop. nine defenders and nine hitters.
I did a voice message yelling at him because I couldn't text him anymore. I was so mad.
He's relentless.
So mad.
He believes it.
I'm aware. So I'll be there tomorrow for at least a couple innings, and then I got to do final outs. So.
Yeah. Hey, look at you. Just on the grind.
That's what we do.
How's Walker, by the way?
Walker's great. He's not sleeping through the night, so like...
Welcome, buddy. Yeah, welcome to Paris.
It's all good. He is well worth it. So, I'm very happy.
I'm so happy.
I haven't put on any Philly stuff with him yet, so we'll work on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's an important step.
Yeah, I know.
You know, we'll
they gotta start playing better.
Yeah, well, it's true. Right now, as we've talked about, I mean...
But also, welcome to Philadelphia, kid.
Yeah, it's a good point.
This is welcome to Philadelphia moment.
Yeah, get ready for...
Oh, you thought it was going to be all sunshine and rainbows?
Get ready for a few more, buddy. You can probably have a few of those.
You thought this was going to be easy?
Yeah, it ain't. All right, you got any final thoughts?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. It doesn't feel like a final thought kind of
vibe. Just win.
Yeah, just win.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. He's first himself.